Hello, good morning. Well, that was kind of a good introduction to what I'm here for also, because that came out of one of our teachings about the teaching about the teaching reading assignment that the Holy Spirit gave me. And that is what I am still doing. I am still reading this assignment of several references that the Holy Spirit gave me about teaching in A Course in Miracles, and then just sharing whatever comes to mind as I read. So we are in the second excerpt that the Holy Spirit asked me to read, and that is in Chapter 5 of A Course in Miracles, Section 3, which is the Guide to Salvation, and I am starting today with Paragraph 8. Before I get started, does anybody else have any questions or comments they would like to make? All right, then. I'm going to begin with paragraph 8. You cannot understand yourself alone. This is because you have no meaning apart from your rightful place in the sonship, and the rightful place of the sonship is God. This is your life, your eternity, and yourself. It is of this that the Holy Spirit reminds you. It is this that the Holy Spirit sees. This vision frightens the ego because it is so calm. Peace is the ego's greatest enemy because, according to its interpretation of reality, war is the guarantee of its survival. The ego becomes strong in strife. If you believe there is strife, you will react viciously, because the idea of danger has entered your mind. The idea itself is an appeal to the ego. The Holy Spirit is as vigilant as the ego to the call of danger, opposing it with his strength, just as the ego welcomes it. The Holy Spirit counters this welcome by welcoming peace. Eternity and peace are as closely related as time and war. You know, I'm reading these words that are talking about war, which is something that physically I have never been involved in, and Holy Spirit and ego, which are concepts. But, you know, as I'm reading, what's coming into my mind is something that is very, very practical. And what is coming into my mind is, you know, when a thought comes into my mind that disturbs me, I really have a choice about that thought. And of course, there was a time that I didn't know that. So let's rewind back to that time, and let's talk about what I used to do with a thought that disturbed me. If a thought that came into my mind that disturbed me, it could be about anything. But when it disturbed me, what really happened without me being aware of it is that I suddenly felt threatened. In other words, there was always a fear around that thought that I wasn't aware of. And what would happen when I felt threatened by whatever thought entered my mind was I immediately wanted to protect myself. Again, all of this was unconscious. And so what I would do was I would continue thinking about the thought, trying to figure out how I was going to survive this seeming threat. And so I would allow the thought to spin and spin and spin within my mind. You know, that could be called war within the mind, and that is certainly welcomed by the ego, because when that war is going on within the mind, really what we're doing is holding on to dearly the belief in an individual separated self, because it's the individual separated self that we are trying to protect. And it's really interesting that this paragraph says the Holy Spirit is as vigilant as the ego to this call of danger, but he opposes it with his strength, just as the ego welcomes it, and the Holy Spirit counters by welcoming peace, which really means that when this thought enters my mind, and this is what I have learned, so this is the way I deal with it now, when this thought enters my mind that disturbs me, now what I'm aware of is that as soon as anything comes into my mind that disturbs me, that is something to literally be let go. And by letting go of the thought, I'm really doing the exact opposite of what I used to do before. I am no longer allowing that thought to grow and spin within my mind. Instead, What I am doing is allowing my mind to switch gears and go into peace. And like, you know, it's easy to do sometimes, but as you know, sometimes there are those thoughts that seem stronger. They frighten us more. They're a larger threat. And so when a really hard thought comes into my mind, one that is not easily released, typically what I do is I start by just breathing. And I think what I say to myself in my mind is, okay, now return to trust. You know the Holy Spirit. You know what's going on here. Return to trust. And I literally just use self-talk and breathing to allow my mind to settle and to become peaceful. And that allows me to return my mind to the Holy Spirit. And, of course, if it's a strong thought, it's going to come back, but then I just do the same thing again. And it's going to come back, and I just do the same thing again. And then what eventually happens is that thought doesn't come back anymore. It's kind of like that storm or that battle passed me by without me taking part in it. So that's how the Holy Spirit is as vigilant as the ego. The ego is vigilant in that it grabs a hold of that thought and spins and spins and spins. The Holy Spirit is vigilant in that it reminds us to let go of it every time it comes back again until it stops coming back. So that's the more practical translation of this paragraph that was running through my mind as I was reading it. Does anybody else have anything they want to say about this paragraph? All right, then, moving on to paragraph 9, and we are on page 80 of A Course in Miracles, the second edition. Perception derives meaning from relationships. Those you accept are the foundations of your beliefs. The separation is merely another term for a split mind. The ego is the symbol of separation, just as the Holy Spirit is the symbol of peace. What you perceive in others, you are strengthening in yourself. You may let your mind misperceive, but the Holy Spirit lets your mind reinterpret its own misperceptions. You know, the line that's jumping out at me in particular in this paragraph is what you perceive in others, you are strengthening in yourself. Because, you know, we all hear, if you spot it, you got it. We all hear that others are a mirror, and yet we all see things that do not seem to be a reflection of us. And I think that what happens over the course of studying A Course in Miracles is this whole mirroring concept can become quite confusing. And so what I've learned again is that everything is really very simple if we keep things broken down to their simplest components. And again, you know, we are told that the Holy Spirit is peace. So regardless of what my eyes seem to be looking at or what I seem to be experiencing, if I am feeling peace at the moment, I don't let it bother me. If I let it bother me, I would in effect be switching gears in that instant from the Holy Spirit to the ego within my mind. And so what I mean by that is, you know, I talk to people every day on the phone. Lots of people call me and they have thoughts they want to share. And sometimes I'll recognize that the person I'm talking to, for example, has a belief in their own unworthiness within their mind. Well, when I see their belief in their mind, that is useful because then I can be helpful to them and help point out that belief that they're holding on to that they might not see. But the question then comes up, does that mean that I also have that belief in my mind? And I think that what's really important here in this particular sentence is it says, what you perceive in others, you are strengthening in yourself. So what I really want to ask myself is, what am I perceiving here? Am I perceiving a person that is unworthy? And am I seeing their unworthiness? Or am I perceiving a person that is absolutely perfect but doesn't know it? And you can see that subtle, subtle difference there. And what I find that I am usually perceiving nowadays is a person that is absolutely perfect and doesn't know it. So really what I'm perceiving in others and strengthening in myself through that perception is a perception of my own perfection rather than a misperception of unworthiness. And so that's really how the mirroring concept works. It doesn't mean that we won't see that someone else believes they're unworthy. It simply means we won't believe it anymore if that has been healed in our own mind. So again, it comes back to, you know, what people often say, how do you feel? You know, how do you feel? And you can really trust what's going on by how you feel. And then again, the Holy Spirit always helps us to see with a truer perception, where the ego, of course, is going to get us all tangled up in confusion and misperception. Are there any comments or questions on that paragraph? Okay, then. I'm just moving on to paragraph 10. And again, yeah, this is just a reminder. Yeah, I'm noticing Nicole is saying this is very helpful. For some reason, I'm feeling to kind of bring us back. This is helpful in that, again, what the Holy Spirit has given me is an assignment on how to teach, how to be a good teacher. And, you know, one of the very first things that we saw is the reason we're teaching is that we're teaching ourselves. So all of this clarity that's coming into mind is for those of us who are teaching really as a process of teaching ourselves. And, of course, when we are teaching, we do seem to come in touch with others who seem to still need our help. They may not be as self-reliant with the Holy Spirit as we are. And so they come to us with their questions and with their help. And, you know, as we're standing in the seeming role of teacher, you know, it's really helpful to us, just like the psychotherapy pamphlet points out, even though I seem to be helping another person, to always keep in mind that everything is also for me. And again, so I can pay attention to what I'm observing in the person that I seem to be helping. And if I do ever slip into thinking someone is unworthy as they're sharing a story, and I notice a judgment, then that is a time for me to step back and go into my own mind. It has absolutely nothing to do with that person or their story, because on another day, at another time, I will perceive the perfection and not believe their story at all. So it really, really is always about me. Always. There are no exceptions to that rule. And that's really what the Holy Spirit is emphasizing for us teachers today. Moving on to paragraph 10. The Holy Spirit is the perfect teacher. Okay, I'm going to applaud. Yay! Because I totally agree with that statement. In fact, I feel like in my mind I'm standing up and giving the Holy Spirit a standing, what's it called? I can't think of the word. You know, we all stand and applaud at the end of a standing ovation. Thank you. You know, because I have totally learned to love and trust the Holy Spirit. This sentence is so true. The Holy Spirit is the perfect teacher. He uses only what your mind already understands to teach you that you do not understand it. Wow, there's a key sentence. I mean, because lots of people think that the purpose of a teacher is to teach you things so that you will understand and know, right? But notice that the Holy Spirit is actually teaching us in order to teach us that we don't know. That's the most important lesson we can learn. I don't know. And there's somewhere in the Course where it says that I don't know the thing I am, and that thought scares the ego more than any other thought, but it's exactly that thought, it's that gap that allows knowledge to come in. So workbook lesson 25, I don't know what anything is for, David is saying yes. So that's really what the Holy Spirit is doing. The Holy Spirit is teaching us so that we can unlearn. I mean, we can still call it learning because it feels like a learning, but really what's going on is an unlearning. Yes, David is also quoting that I was referring to chapter 31. I do not know the thing I am, where I am, or what to do. Absolutely. So the Holy Spirit uses what our mind already understands to teach us that we do not understand it. The Holy Spirit can deal with a reluctant learner without going counter to his mind, because part of it is still for God. That sentence is really important too. Part of it is still for God. And that is true. I mean, that to me is what I would call my salvation. There have been times in the past when I had strong doubts, very, very strong doubts. But whenever I would sit down and get silent, I would always get to that place in my mind that trusted God above myself. It was always, always there. And, you know, that really saved me, that part of the mind that doesn't go away, that does somehow know this truth, so that even when I was doubting everything in a very strong way, I could always find that place that told me that my thoughts were not real, the Holy Spirit's thoughts were, and would lead me to continue, to lay down my doubts and continue. So the Holy Spirit can deal with a reluctant learner without going counter to his mind, because part of it is still for God. Despite the ego's attempts to conceal this part, it is still much stronger than the ego. And in fact, if you read the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, you'll find many of these places where the Holy Spirit was speaking to me as the scribe and saying, "You know this. You know this." And every time the Holy Spirit said that to me, there would be a little place in me that said, "Yes, yes. I mean, I do know that I'm to let go of this world. I do know this." And, you know, that is so true. That is there inside of us. And the Holy Spirit can reach that point and lead us, because that is closer to our core than any other thoughts in our mind. So despite the ego's attempts to conceal this part of our mind, it is much stronger than the ego. And the Holy Spirit can reach us there and lead us from there. The Holy Spirit recognizes it perfectly because it is his own dwelling place, the place in the mind where he is at home. You are at home there too, because it is a place of peace, and peace is of God. You who are part of God are not at home except in his peace. If peace is eternal, you are at home only in eternity. Moving on to paragraph 11. The ego made the world as it perceives it, but the Holy Spirit, the reinterpreter of what the ego made, sees the world as a teaching device for bringing you home. Now, this is also very, very important because, you know, somewhere in the Course, it also says that healing is all the world is for, that's the Holy Spirit's interpretation. Healing is all the world is for. And it is absolutely true that if we hold on to the willingness to see that is exactly what the world turns into. Every single event and circumstance is used to bring us closer and closer to the realization of what we really are. The Holy Spirit must perceive time and reinterpret it into the timeless. He must work through opposites because he must work with and for a mind that is in opposition. This is again reminding me, you know, of we've talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit uses crazy dream talk in order to bring us home. In other words, you know, if we were to get into judgment, we can pretend for a moment that judging is okay. If we were to judge the Holy Spirit as 100% honest, the Holy Spirit would actually be found guilty. Because the Holy Spirit is not 100% honest, because we would not understand 100% truth. So the Holy Spirit has to sometimes meet us where we're at. The Holy Spirit points us in the right direction, sometimes by telling us stories or using symbols that are not exactly truth. But the Holy Spirit is always pointing us in the direction of truth. And this is why, again, we've said we don't want to become too attached to symbols. If we hold on to and cling to symbols as if they are the truth, we're not allowing ourselves to continue moving in the direction that the Holy Spirit is pointing us in. So the Holy Spirit will sometimes tell us things that are not what we would call 100% truth, but it's because it's reaching the mind with the crazy dream talk that will cause the mind to kind of turn and walk in the direction of truth. So he must work through opposites, because he must work with and for a mind that is in opposition. Correct and learn and be open to learning. You have not made truth, but truth can still set you free. Look as the Holy Spirit looks and understand as he understands. His understanding looks back to God in remembrance of me. He is in communion with God always, and he is a part of you. He is your guide to salvation because he holds the remembrance of things past and to come, and he brings them to the present. He holds this gladness gently in your mind, asking only that you increase it in his name by sharing it to increase his joy in you. So really what this passage is telling us again is that the Holy Spirit is the absolute perfect teacher, because the Holy Spirit understands what we think we understand without being fooled by it at all. And so the Holy Spirit can meet us where we're at, talk to us using the symbols of what we believe in order to lead us from those symbols. And then, by turning it around and sharing what we seem to be learning from the Holy Spirit, we extend that within our own mind. Now let's see, Carolyn has written, honesty seems to also be a concept known only in illusion, as the Son of God is perfect, so neither honest or dishonest, as that is just another concept found in duality. Absolutely. In fact, recently I was talking to someone about how there is no such thing as right or wrong. And there isn't. There is no such thing as right or wrong. And whenever we're believing in right or wrong, we're believing in duality. So it seems that this concept also needs to be forgiven as having any reality. Absolutely. And, you know, this is why the Holy Spirit is not necessarily attached to the idea of being 100% honest by the judgment of the world. But all the Holy Spirit cares about, okay? All the Holy Spirit cares about is leading us from what is false to what is true. And the Holy Spirit is not judging itself as it does that. It is completely true to its mission. So all the Holy Spirit cares about is leading us from what is false to what is true. And, you know, some examples, for example, the story of the tiny mad idea. You know, the Holy Spirit told me the story of the tiny mad idea, and I saw many helpful elements in the story of the tiny mad idea. But as the Holy Spirit was telling me that story, I had a complete feeling that the Holy Spirit was just telling me a story. That's how I felt. I did not feel that the story of the tiny mad idea was some kind of absolute truth. So it's really useful that the Holy Spirit reaches us, because the Holy Spirit knows how we understand. But again, the Holy Spirit is reaching us there in order to lead us and teach us that we don't really understand anything. And that allows us that surrender of the mind that finally allows the truth to come in. So I'm going to let go of the mic and see if somebody else has something that they want to share. I see lots of conversation going on the board. Does anybody feel guided to say anything? Okay. Keen to hear more? Okay, so does this mean, Nicole, that you're not getting out of bed tonight for you? You are determined to stay in bed? Actually, you're typing, so you must not be laying in bed, huh? Anyway, one thing that I'm just feeling that I just thought I would share as we're having this entire conversation this morning, what I'm feeling in my mind, again, is another great big willingness to release. Because, again, the ego always wants to grab on to something and hold on to it. It, like, feels like it needs this anchor in order to continue to be me, you know, in order to continue to be safe. And what I'm noticing as we're having this entire conversation is the part of the mind that is willing to just release everything and literally just go with the flow and literally just be led by the Holy Spirit without that desire to cling to anything. So that seems to be what's coming to me through this entire conversation, and I find that to be, of course, very, very helpful. Actually, we can just go on to the next page, because section 4 is also a part of my reading assignment. So we can move on to chapter 5, section 4, paragraph 1. What fear has hidden still is a part of you. Joining the atonement is the way out of fear. The Holy Spirit will help you reinterpret everything that you perceive as fearful and teach you that only what is loving is true. Truth is beyond your ability to destroy, but entirely within your ability to accept. It belongs to you because, as an extension of God, you created it with Him. It is yours because it is a part of you, just as you are a part of God because He created you. Nothing that is good can be lost because it comes from the Holy Spirit, the voice for creation. Nothing that is not good was ever created and therefore cannot be protected. The atonement is the guarantee of the safety of the kingdom, and the union of the sonship is its protection. Wow, that sentence kind of stops me in my tracks. The union of the sonship is its protection. You know, it's funny because the image that is coming into my mind is one I don't even think I can put into words. But what I can put into words is that this truly means that every single one of our brothers are our saviors. And this, it doesn't mean it from a statement of separation. It means it from a statement of oneness. Because all thoughts are shared. Because all thoughts are shared, and that can never stop. And this is actually what's going to cause us to have an awakening experience. It is that sharing that always is. That is what we come back to, and that is what wakes us up. And that is how all of our brothers help us to accept the atonement. And it's so funny because, again, I have an image, a feeling that is so strong right now about how perfect our oneness is and how wonderfully we work together to awaken. And yet I can't seem to put that into words. But that's what's coming up for me as I read this sentence. The atonement is the guarantee of the safety of the kingdom, and the union of the sonship is its protection. The ego cannot prevail against the kingdom because the sonship is united. In the presence of those who hear the Holy Spirit's call to be as one, the ego fades away and is undone. And again, what's happening for me now, I'll just do my best to describe it, is I'm feeling an overwhelming gratitude right now for everyone. In fact, I'm feeling near tears. This is how overwhelming this gratitude is. Because what I am feeling now at a point that is beyond words as I am reading this paragraph is how incredibly important everyone is as a part of me to my own awakening from the dream of separation. In fact, what I am seeing is it's because of that truth of our oneness that I must awaken. Again, these are all just words. I know you all know the feeling when you're feeling something so strong and yet the words do not capture it. But I'm seeing right now our absolute perfection. And I'm seeing that our absolute perfection is so true that awakening must occur because there is no way it could stand up against this truth. That is what I am seeing right now, and that is what this paragraph has brought up for me. So I think for me this is a really good place to stop. It's just a place of complete gratitude and love for all of you. I have as much time as I wish. You know, I'm still feeling to go ahead and stop. I'm sorry that Peter won't be here, but this is just feeling that I should just go and be with what's been brought up within me now. because it feels like something to be grasped and to be held on to. So I am going to go ahead and stop. But obviously I love you all very much, and I'm feeling that right now. Because, again, I'm feeling how our perfection is our perfect answer, and how true it is in this very, very, very moment. So, I love you all, and have a great day.